reason why a Muslim will be confused concerning the belief in Qadr is lack of knowledge. The only reason why we will be confused concerning that aspect of our belief system is because of lack of knowledge. Had we read the narrations in the ayat, had we been familiar with the teachings of Islam, then we would never be confused about Qadr. But when we don't learn them from the right sources, we will end up with a major misunderstanding of this tenet of faith. And the truth of the matter is, some people at the time of Ibn Umar, yani at the time of the Sahaba, denied Qadr. And when the news reached Ibn Umar that there's a group of people who deny Qadr, he said to the one conveying the message, tell them that I am innocent of them and they are innocent of me until they believe in Qadr. Yani he was basically saying that they're not upon the same deen. And they were known as the Majus of this Ummah, the Magians of this Ummah. Those who deny the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is Qadr? And what do we believe as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah concerning Qadr? Qadr, in short, is everything which Allah had ordained will take place. In the knowledge of Allah, the eternal, everlasting, without a beginning, knowledge of Allah, He knew how everything is going to turn out, and He decreed every single event that takes place in the creation. Everything. Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr. Allah says, verily, everything we have created with decree. Nothing happens except what Allah Azza wa Jal ordained. We have a few ayat which I would like to share with you concerning this particular subject matter. And I'm referring to the excellent book of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Al-Aqidah al-Waqifiyyah, with the sharh of Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أول ما خلق الله القلم قال له اكتب قال ما اكتب قال اكتب ما هو كائن الى يوم القيامه. The first thing which Allah created is the pen. He said to it, write. It replied, what should I write? Allah said, write whatever that shall happen until the day of resurrection. We learn from this that Allah Azza wa Jal already ordained every single event in this world. And this is further supported by the ayah in the Qur'an, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبَرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. No calamity befalls on earth or in yourselves, but it is in a record. Before we initiated it, verily that is easy for Allah. Nothing happens except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already ordained. So then, we learn from this, that Allah Azza wa Jal ordained everything, and Allah ordained everything which He knew, so Allah knows everything. Allah knows everything, and He ordained every event which takes place, which has taken place which took place and which will take place in the future until the day of resurrection and afterwards, everything is by Allah's decree. So when calamity strikes, when a dear loved one dies, when an earthquake occurs, when a tornado sweeps a country, when a tsunami drowns a country, when anything happens, it is by Allah's decree and will. And it is something which Allah had ordained based on His ultimate knowledge. That means that we shouldn't grieve over past events beyond what Islam allows. Because it has only happened by Allah's decree. Now, to be frank with you, the issue is not in what I explained earlier. I believe, Allahu A'lam, that most of you probably already believe that. I haven't given you anything new. Probably. Most of you probably already know that everything is by Allah's decree and all that. Alhamdulillah. Because most of you are big shuyukh, mashallah. But the issue where Muslims have differed and differing is not good, as opposed to what some may claim, that al-ikhtilafu rahma, they say differing is mercy. No, differing is misery, not mercy. Because Allah had commanded us to be together, to unite. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold on to the rope of Allah altogether and do not divide. So I don't know how people claim that division is mercy. No, it is not. Nevertheless, the issue where, or the point on which Muslims have differed concerning decree or qadr is the issue of free will. Free will, let me ask you a question. And you may answer by typing out the answer. What you are doing right now, what you're doing right now, listening, is that something which you're doing by your own free will, or is it something which Allah is imposing on you to do because He ordained it? Omar is excited. Omar is excited. I like Mr. Omar, I like. MashaAllah, he answered before I finished. He already knows where I'm going. Good man, Omar. I don't know. Well, it's good to say that you don't know, barakallah feek. InshaAllah, you will be taught soon. Anyone else? The rest are sleeping? Are the rest having a little nap during the class? Or too lazy to type? Or, don't understand my question. There you go. The question is, you're listening to me now. You're listening to me now. Are you doing this by your own free will, or is Allah imposing it on you? Meaning you're only playing out the role which Allah ordained for you. Allah decreed that you will listen to this Chat Islam on Friday, 4:43 p.m. Mecca time. That's Allah's decree. He wrote this, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. So, are you simply living it out? Or is your will involved in this? Aha. Alhamdulillah. Allah allowed it to happen. I said the fatiha, but He gave us the choice whether to take that path. Beautiful. But who can give me an ayah which proves that we have a will and that Allah has a will? who can give me an ayah which proves that Allah has a will and we have a will? Yes? End of Surah Al-Insan. You don't know the ayah? Aha. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. أحسنت يا شيخ عمر. There are other ayat as well. There are actually many ayat. Many ayat with the same concept being taught. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Surah Al-Takwir. It's also at the end of Surah Al-Takwir. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah Azza wa Jal gives the human being the free will. قُلِ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. So say this is the truth from your Lord. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. So whosoever wills, let him believe. And whosoever wills, let him disbelieve. So Allah Azza wa Jal gave us the free will. However, we cannot will until Allah wills first. We do not will until Allah wills. Meaning our will is conditional to Allah's will. Allah wills something, then we will it based on Allah's will. The issue that we need to focus on though, however, is that we don't know what Allah willed and what He didn't will until after it takes place. So as far as we are concerned, we have a free will. Yani you say to yourself, tonight I'm going to sleep at 10 o'clock p.m. Khalas. This is your will. Can you guarantee that you will sleep at 10 p.m.? No, you cannot. It could be 9:59. And you're lying down in bed. And you're 1 minute away from sleeping. And someone knocks your door. And your plan is down the drain. Because you willed, but Allah did not will it. So it never occurred. It never happened. If you will to sleep at 10 o'clock and then you slept at 10 o'clock, then you only were able to sleep at 10 o'clock and your will only materialized because Allah willed before that, that your will take place. You see what I'm saying? The point which confuses people is, okay, based on this, I'm being forced to do things which I don't want to do. We say, no, you're not. Because you did not know what Allah will. You did not know whether Allah willed it or not. Your job is to will and do. If it happens, it's by the will of Allah. If it doesn't happen, it's by the will of Allah. Allah wills that your will doesn't materialize. This saves you a big headache. The headache of blaming Allah for things which happen to you, for sins which we commit. Because many people, when you tell them, hey, you've committed sin, say, yeah, but Allah wills it. If Allah didn't will, I would have never disobeyed. And the kuffar said the same thing. لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. If Allah willed, we wouldn't have disbelieved, and nor would our forefathers and whatever. Allah called them, liars. Such lied those who came before them. They're liars. So they cannot blame Allah Azza wa Jal because He had ordained or decreed something. You cannot blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in any way, shape, or form. My job and your job is to do what we were commanded to do, avoid what we were commanded to avoid, and we ask Allah's assistance concerning these two. And then whatever happened, it has been willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we didn't know it until afterwards, so there's no point in complaining before something happens or it does not. This is why Islam taught us istikhara. Please avoid typing while I'm speaking because I'm easily distracted. Unless I tell you to write something. Jazakumullah khair. This is why Islam taught us istikhara. And Salatul Istikhara, brothers and sisters in Islam, is something which every Muslim should know. In fact, Ibn Mas'ud, I believe, said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us istikhara, Salatul Istikhara, like he would teach us a surah from the Quran, subhanallah. Yani he made it important, and he emphasized learning it the same way he would emphasize learning the Quran. And you know how much effort he, alayhi sallam, made concerning the Sahaba learning the Quran. He gave an equivalent importance to memorizing and learning Salatul Istikhara, which is a dua which one says after having decided something. Listen carefully to my words. Salatul Istikhara is a dua which one does at the end of two voluntary units of prayer, at the end of two rak'at. At the end of two rak'at, after you have made up your mind to do something, not when you're confused. Because many people have a misunderstanding about istikhara. They think it's something which you do when you're confused. Oh, I don't know. Shall I go to Egypt or shall I go to Saudi Arabia? Let me pray istikhara. We say, wrong. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر." إذا هم أحدكم بالأمر. If one of you already has the niyyah, the intention, the himma, the will to do something, then let him pray the two rak'at and he taught us the du'a. Which means you must already decide. Now, after you decide, okay, you had Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. You're confused. Okay, you ask people and you think it over, you say, look, I think Saudi Arabia is better. Forget about the pyramids and all these pharaonic, monkeys. Let me go to the Haram and pray, in the Haram, and go to Mecca and Medina. Let me get something good in my life. I don't want to, go to Egypt. I'm not trying to undermine Egypt, but, some people prefer to go to see the pyramids over preferring to see the house of Allah, which is a very strange choice. Nevertheless, you've already decided to go to Saudi Arabia. But you don't know whether that trip is actually good for you or not. You never know. They may be a fitna. After you've made up your mind, then you pray Salatul Istikhara. When you pray Salatul Istikhara, the two rak'ah, then you make the dua. The dua you can find online, you can find in the small book called Husn al-Muslim, Muslim Fortress. You can find in the books of narrations, it's very popular. I doubt you will have a hard time finding the hadith. Allahumma bi'ilmika al-ghayb wa qudratika ala al-khalq. No, this is another dua. Allahumma anastakhiruka bi'ilmika wa astakziruka bi'qudratika wa as'aluka min fadlika al-azim fa annaka ta'lamu wa la'alamu wa taqdiru wa laqdiru wa anta'alamu al-ghuyub. Ila akhir al-dua, until the end of the dua. The bottom line is, you make this dua. Now, some of the scholars say you pray to rak. You do salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, salam alaykum wa rahmatullah, then you make the dua. Some of them said you make the dua before the salam, after the tashahud and the salatul ibrahimiyya. Whatever, both, because the hadith doesn't specify, so there's room in this issue here. Now, once you do it, don't wait for dreams. Do not be expecting to see a dream, because the dream has nothing to do with istikhara, nothing. Some people, they keep doing it before they sleep and hope that they will see the answer in the dream. That's another incorrect action. There's no such thing. Because in the dua you say, إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ خَيْرٌ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي فَاكْثِرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي ثُمَّ بَارِكْ لِي فِي. وإن كان هذا الأمر شر لي في ديني ومعاشي وعقبة أمري فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقتلي الخير حيث كان ثم رضيني به. He's basically asking Allah, if that thing which I want is good for me in my deen, in my religion, in my worldly life, then facilitate it for me, bless it for me, and make me pleased with it. If it is not good, then keep it away from me and keep me away from it and give me something which is better than that and make me happy with it. You're actually asking Allah Azza wa Jal to guide you to what is good for you. That is a matter of facilitation or deprivation. It's a matter of facilitation or deprivation, meaning either Allah will facilitate that thing which you have asked for, or Allah will deprive you of it. Whichever one it turns out to be, it is the best thing that happened to you. Because it is you relied on Allah for guidance, and Allah guided you so that this event either occurs or it does not occur. Example, after you have decided to go to Saudi Arabia instead of Egypt, for example, and everything was right, you go and you find out that your passport has expired. And you know, you had a time limit to actually travel, and they tell you at the embassy, sorry, it's going to take, you know, 1 month for your passport to be renewed because we have to send it to such and such country. And so all of a sudden, you don't have a passport, you can't get a visa, and that answers your question. So you don't say, oh, no, I wanted to go. Say, hey, you did istikhara, and Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that this happened, you should be very happy, because this is the best thing. What was best for you is that you don't go at that time. Otherwise, Allah would have decreed it for you. If before they told you, sorry, we have no more visa, there are visa complications, we can't get you a visa, it's off season, blah, blah, blah. But you've already determined to go. You prayed istikhara, and you started going to the embassy and going to the different places, working on it, and all of a sudden Allah facilitated your affair. You found that, mashallah, you're getting the stamps, you're getting approval, boom, next thing you know, you have a visa, you were able to purchase your ticket, you booked your flight, everything is in order, you say, Alhamdulillah. Then Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed that for me. So whatever happens to you during that trip is good. Whether you break your leg, or whether you die, or whether you come back, or whether you don't come back, whatever happens, it's the best thing for you. Why? Because you had relied upon Allah and asked for guidance from Him before going on that trip, and Allah facilitated that you go, meaning this is the best thing for you. So the istikhara gives you a peace of mind. You get to relax. And istikhara is very much related to decree, because it lessens the misunderstanding that the people have about decree, and it causes them to be satisfied with the decree and the decisions which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows to manifest in our lives. The issue of decree is very technical. I would like to add that there are two extremes in concerning qadr, two groups or denominations that appeared among Muslims. One of them is called Al-Qadariya, and the other ones are called Al-Jabariya. And both of them are off the path. Al-Qadariya believe that Allah did not ordain or decree everything. Allah didn't do it. You do it. You have a total independent free will. And the extreme amongst them believe that Allah did not even know what will happen. He only found out about it after it took place, which is just very strange. On the other hand, the Jabariya are those who say that you are like a puppet. You cannot do anything except that which Allah forces you to do because of His decree. You have absolutely no free will. And both have been led astray by their whims and desires and misunderstandings. The correct belief is that which we said and discussed in the beginning of the dars, which is وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And you do not will until Allah wills. Thus Allah established and affirmed a will for us, and the will of His subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah further taught us that our will cannot occur until Allah wills it first. And so this is the sound understanding in concerning qadr. It is very important to believe in Qadr. The good and the bad thereof, everything which happens, happens by Allah's will. Believing in Qadr will save you from a number of issues. The first of which is superstition. People with superstitious beliefs suffer the most in this life. And alhamdulillah, we Muslims don't believe in superstition. We don't have anything known as lucky 7 or unlucky 13, or you know, if you see a if you see a black cat, then you know your uncle is gonna die, or what they used to teach us when we were young, if you lie down on the floor and one of your siblings walks over you, then you will never grow tall again until they walk back from where they came. So I remember when we were kids, you know, the worst thing that could happen to someone is someone who happens to be lying down, that someone walks over them, and then you say, hey, come back! And they say, no, I'm not going to go back. And you really start believing, oh my God, I'm going to stay short for the rest of my life. And so, subhanAllah, when the parents don't teach their children, alhamdulillah, Allah guided my family afterwards, but during then, when the parents don't teach their children, or teach their children the superstitious beliefs, I mean, you suffer. You suffer tremendously. So we don't have any of that in Islam. We don't have any of that in Islam. Everything is you have a peace of mind. You know, you have no problem, being on the 13th floor. Nor do you have any problem in being on the 13th aisle of an airplane or in the 13th, room of a hotel. It's all the same to us. Like, you just look at the number and you move on. Those who believe in these superstitious beliefs or superstitions, their life is tough. And they're always worried about some other power which will harm them or benefit them. And so they have the rabbit's foot, and they have the horseshoe which they hang on their door or on top of their door. Some of them have these blue eye, which they call it a blue eye, that's supposed to protect them. All this has no place in Islam. And included in that are amulets. No. You don't hang no little pin with some Quran hanging in a little cloth which you've wrapped around, that has some names of Allah or some Quranic ayat. No, you don't do that. This is not allowed in Islam. This is called an amulet, and it's a form of shirk. It's a form of depending on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Very common amongst many Muslims in many different Muslim countries. Not part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't hang amulets, because this is a part of superstitious belief. And if you believe in the Qadr of Allah, then you don't need it. Because they put it on the child, they say this is protection for the child. And then the car runs over a child. And the question remains, what happened to that thing which he was hanging on his shirt? And how come it didn't protect him? Well, that because it wasn't protecting him to begin with. It's Allah who protects, and it's Allah who decrees that someone, returns to him. So we don't believe in superstition, we don't believe in amulets, we don't put a Quran in our car so that our car will be protected from theft or from being in an accident. All these have no place in Islam. You believe in the decree of Allah, the good and the bad. Everything happens because Allah willed it, and Allah willed that when we do bad things, then bad things will happen to us. وَمَا أَصَابَكُمْ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَعْفُوا عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And no calamity strikes except that which you have earned with your own hand, and Allah pardons a lot. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. And now we can entertain some questions.
اوكي. السلام عليكم. وعليكم السلام. The four مذاهب اختلاف رحمة. Some people say they are. No, it is not. No, like I said, the difference is never a form of mercy. It is not. Agreement is a form of mercy. But Allah decreed that we will differ. Allah decreed that we will differ. But that doesn't make it necessarily something which is a form of mercy. No, it is not. Islamically speaking, when does the day begin? According to Islam, the day begins at Fajr. But the night precedes the day in Islam. Meaning, from Maghrib until Fajr is the night, which is preceded by the day, which is from Fajr until the following Maghrib. That's how it works. Is the dua for the istikhara sufficient without the salah? No, it is not. One should do the salah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Is it possible for you to do a series or a lecture on the topic of Hajj Umrah? Especially since the season is approaching, a lot of people go without knowing the ins and outs of it. I had planned to do so, to be frank with you, sister. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to facilitate. Inshallah, I should be delivering a lecture on the topic before Hajj, if Allah facilitates. I won't promise you, just in case something happened beyond my ability, but that intent is there. The intent is there, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. What's your advice on the layman who call themselves and pronounce everyone deviate or innovators who either differs in some issue with them or made some mistakes in the past? My issue, my advice to them is that they need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal and abandon this sectarianism. They have good intentions, Zam la khair, and they want to defend the sunnah, but they have to defend the sunnah according to the sunnah. So it's amazing how one wants to defend the sunnah by going against the sunnah. So these individuals, whether they call themselves Salafis or Ahli Hadith or Tablighis or whatever, Ikhwanis, all these groups on the scene, all of them need to put an end to this sectarianist approach to Islam, and they need to fear Allah Azza wa Jal and return to the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and love for their brothers what they love for themselves and assume the best about people. Yes, there are times where warning is necessary, where speaking about mistakes is important so that the people will be warned against deviance. We don't deny that. But going to extremes in this regard, and while lacking the basics or the not even knowing the basics of the deen, or turning it into a sect wherein you have to join them and give bay'ah almost to their shuyukh, and if you don't acknowledge Shaykh Fulan, then you're not really upon the sunnah. And all this is Allah, ما أنزل الله به من سلطان. Allah said no authority concerning that. This is from their own extremism. And so my advice to them is like my advice to every group: stop being a group and return to the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of our righteous predecessors and live accordingly. نعم. Can a difference, an opinion, give us the ability to pick and choose and be flexible to the point that we choose only to do the ways that are easy for us? No. The difference of opinion allows you to choose what is most correct, not what is most suitable. You choose what is most correct and not what is most suitable. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What's the ruling on drawing smiley faces on the keyboard? Aren't they the same as drawing figures since it has eyes and nose as opposed to noise? There are people say LOL, laugh out loud a lot, befitting for a Muslim, or is that too extreme of a judgment? Well, if you wish to be on the safe side, then avoid both. Avoid the smiley face. I usually would use a Colin and this one. I don't know. Sorry. See, this problem, I put a colon and the parentheses and it showed the face by on its own. I didn't actually use the face. So, subhanAllah. I was going to show you the alternative, but I guess the site automatically translates that symbol to a face. Pardon me. Anyways, there's no nose, really. There are eyes and a line. And usually it doesn't constitute a real face. It does not. But if you wish to leave it alone to be on the safe side, then you may do so. As for the LOL, or the other ones which are even worse than the LOL, then it is not befitting, because very often it entails lying. I mean, let's be honest, you're saying laughing out loud. Did you really laugh out loud? Usually the one who types LOL is like this. Oh, LOL. Laughing out loud. He didn't even smile, let alone laugh out loud. So there's a form of lying in there, unless someone really laughed out loud. Then the question is it appropriate to be laughing out loud, 20 times a day? So Allah understands. We cannot, make a big deal out of it, because people are different levels in terms of their iman, and if you wish to avoid it, then you've done well, jazakallah khair, or jazakallahu khaira. Salaam alaikum. Laugh out little? No, it doesn't make sense, bro. The Quran says Allah doesn't wrong a person, but they wrong themselves. But clearly, if everything happens according to Allah's predetermined purpose, and if Allah commands people to commit lewdness and ungodliness, then it would be right to say these communities are only carrying out the evil that has been foreordained for them, right? No, I think you missed the class. My only assumption is that you missed the class, because I was explaining the whole time exactly why that is incorrect. So in order not to repeat the dars, barakallahu feekum, go back and listen to the recorded class, the same one we had today, and your answer is there, inshallah. Is witr at Salah included in Qiyam al-Layl? What niyyah does one make prior to Salah, like 3 units of Qiyam or Nafil or witr? Witr is the last prayer in Qiyam al-Layl, which is the ending your Salah with an odd number. And that's it. You just intend to pray witr as something to conclude a Salah with which you conclude your night prayer. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Many people get confused about Qadr and how free will and decree can coexist. Is it okay to say the intricacies of Qadr are among of the secrets of Allah? We know what we need to know, but ultimately we do know not everything about Allah. Correct! This is exactly what the scholars say. There are aspects of Qadr which you just have to submit to Allah concerning. Now, how can Facebook be halal? It can be halal if you have no pictures, if you have no female friends, and for the sisters you have no male friends, if you don't spread false information, if you don't backbite, if you don't waste your time, and if you don't do anything which is unlawful, it can be halal. Otherwise, it is not. Go back to my lecture, Facebook can make you face hell. Facebook and make you face hell, you will find all the answers you need there, inshaAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We should charge her $2 for every question she asks. I think the chat Islam would be rich by now. I heard because the spider protected the Prophet ﷺ, it is forbidden or disliked to kill them. Myth or Islamic basis? Myth. The spider never protected the Prophet ﷺ. This hadith is fabricated. The hadith which claims that the spider created a web and a pigeon laid some eggs or something along these lines is not found in the authentic sunnah. There's no basis for it. Allah protected the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr in the cave through Allah's miracle. No other creatures were involved according to the authentic narration. Excuse me guys, what are you doing here? MashaAllah, this is a novel, not a question. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Please explain these to a non-Muslim friend who claims there are mistakes in the Quran. Again, like according to Surah 21:76, no one in his family is saved from the flood. And Surah 37:77 concerns that his seed survived. But Surah 11:42-43 reports that Noah's son drowns. Okay, well, the answer is very basic and straightforward. He had a dhurriya. وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ مِنَ الْكَرْبِ الْعَظِيمِ We saved him and his progeny. Now, does that mean that every one of them, if you had 10 children, can't you call them one children, even if amongst them one was absent? So then where's the contradiction? One ayah says that Allah saved him and his children, and the other ayah speaks of one child who drowned. Does that not make the other children saved? The fact that one drowned does not make the other one saved. If someone had 10 children, and all of them went to the ocean, one of them drowned. All of them were going to drown, and one of them actually drowned. The other nine were saved. Can we not say that Allah saved this man and his children, even though one drowned? Yes. Because he still had 9 children which were saved. But on another occasion we say, one of his children drowned. So I don't know where they find the contradiction in that. SubhanAllah, this is like as clear as the sun. And how many angels were talking to Mary in Surah? In 3 it says angels, but why does Mary only seek refuge from one of the angels and she only addresses one in Surah 19:18? Were the others not like men and threatening to her? No! The Malaika came and gave glad tidings to Mary. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ When the angel said, O Mary, verily Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you over the women of mankind. This is in one ayah when the angels first gave her glad tidings. Then Allah sent Jibreel so that he may blow into her so she may conceive Jesus. So first the angels gave her glad tidings, preparing her. Allah has chosen you. Allah has purified you. What did they say next? Ya Maryam uqnuti li rabbik. O Maryam, be devoutly obedient to your Lord. Warka'i ma'a raki'in. And bow with those who bow. Pray with those who pray. They were preparing her. Then angel Jibreel came in the form of a man, basharan sawiya. قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا. Then said, I seek refuge with the most merciful from you if you fear Allah. Why? Because he came to her in the form of a man. So there are stages. The angels preparing her, giving glad tidings, and the arrival of Jibreel in the form of a man, which made her seek refuge with Allah from him. Again, never you will find a contradiction in the Quran. Never, never, never. Tell them you may search from now until you die. You will not find a contradiction, and anything you present, we will smash it, even with someone as lousy as Abu Musab. Let alone if you ask the scholar who would really put you in your place. I'm eager to learn about Islam and thinking of doing Shahada soon. But should I learn how to pray pillars of faith first? Thank you. You don't have to learn how to pray yet. What you need to do is give the Shahada. Once you give the Shahada, you have entered into the house of Islam. While you're in the house, you will learn how to live in the house. While you're in the house, Oh, she left the room. She's back. Laura, this address is to you. You don't need to learn how to pray yet. And don't make learning how to pray a condition for you to give the shahada. Rather, enter into Islam. Because Islam is like a house. Once you enter into the house, then you can learn how to live in this house. Then you learn slowly but surely how to comfort yourself in this house. But you don't try to learn how to live in the house while you're standing outside looking at the window. Say, oh, okay, I'm going to be sitting over there, then I think I can wash the dishes in this way. No, 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 no. Come in. Come in, and then you will learn. So my advice to you is, give the shahada as soon as you can. Once you give the shahada and you have become a Muslim, your sins have been forgiven, and if you're a Christian, your reward will be doubled, your reward with Allah, your good reward will be doubled by Allah, and then you'll be actually on the path leading to paradise and salvation. Then start learning salah and the things which will help you get there. Is that clear, Miss Laura? Or did we lose you again? There you are. Is that clear? Beautiful. So we're looking forward to that moment. Because you better believe, we become very happy when someone returns to Allah. Because Allah is happy when someone returns to Him. And whatever makes Allah happy, it makes us happy. So we wish that you, inshallah, you do this soon in order to save yourself and in order to, you know, make the Muslims happy, because we will be more than happy to have you as a sister in faith, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. And Shaykh Islam is here at your services around the clock, or almost around the clock. Anything else? Any other questions? Any other questions? About amulets. Yes, amulets are not allowed because it creates the concept of depending on a created being. You see, we believe the Quran is the speech, the words of Allah. It is uncreated. The Quran as in that which is recited. As for that which is written on a piece of paper, it is obviously created. So when someone hangs some Quranic verses on themselves as means of protection, in this regard, they are actually depending on a created object to protect them, while we Muslims believe that it is Allah who protects. Yaqub, Joseph's father, he said, وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And Allah is the best of protector, and He is the most merciful of those who show mercy. Allah is the best of protector. So we rely directly on Allah to protect us from the evil of the creation. We don't depend on created beings. Yes, we believe that some things can be used where Allah made effective, like an umbrella from the sun. We don't go to the extreme and say, oh, I'm not going to use an umbrella from the rain or the sun. Why? Because I depend on Allah to protect me. You say, no. Allah made it a reason for you to receive protection, but you believe in your heart that Allah will protect you by that thing. However, the amulet is not something which Islam allowed, like the usage of an umbrella. Rather, Islam did not allow the use of amulets, so we can no longer think it's effective when Islam specifically told us it is not. I hope that clarifies the misunderstanding. Assalamu alaikum, wa alaikum salam. Is it okay if a woman who is in her menses to recite with a tain, then blow and rub her over her body. Yes, it is, inshallah. Okay, guys, assalamu alaykum, alaykum salam. Should dhikr be said loud, whisper, or in our heart? When we're in the WC, can we remember Allah in our heart? The dhikr should be done in a moderate voice, or volume, I guess. Meaning you neither say it in such a way where it is not heard, nor do you raise your voice. So you go, وَلَا تَجَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَبِتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا, as Allah said. And do not raise your voice in your salah, du'a, according to some of the ulama, nor be very silent concerning it, and seek a path in between. As for in the bathroom, then you know, one should not remember Allah in the bathroom. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Keeping eyes closed in salah, is it sunnah, is it allowed? It is not a sunnah to close the eyes, nor is it allowed unless that which is in front of you is very distracting, and you only close your eyes to avoid that distraction. Otherwise, one should keep one's eyes open. Some Islamic lecturers say that Islam is a new religion. Is that not wrong on their side, since the Quran says all prophets come from Allah and they all preach Islam, that is submitting our will to Allah? Yeah, it is incorrect to say that Islam is a new religion. But really, it depends on what they mean by that. We also have to assume the best. What they could mean, as in the teachings of Islam as we know them today, are new because they're unique to Islam, and they're not like the teachings of Christianity or Judaism or anything else. So it really depends on what they mean. It really depends on what they mean. I would avoid saying it just because it may be misunderstood, just like you misunderstood it. Nevertheless, it really depends on their intention. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt, inshaAllah ta'ala. I think this will be the last question, if possible. Do you still check your One Way to Paradise email? I understand that you no longer answer questions on it, but there's something I would like to tell you, which is not a question. Can I do that? Yes. You can inform me of things, but don't ask me questions, because I reached a point where I receive, maybe 10, sometimes more of questions per day, and Allah, it's beyond my ability to answer all these questions. Some of them require a lot of work, a lot of research, and it's become very difficult, so I've stopped at this stage in my life and ask Allah to facilitate something else. But in the meantime, yani Allah musta'an. But if you want to inform me of something, go ahead. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Am I asking too many questions, Akhi Afwan, just thirsty for knowledge and I don't trust many people, so I get... No, I'm just teasing you, Shaykha. I'm just teasing you to break the ice, as they say. I have no issues. It doesn't matter. In fact, Ibn Abbas was asked, how did you become such a scholar? He said, بِلِسَانٍ سَأُولٍ وَقَلْبٌ عَقُولٍ. I became a scholar with a tongue which used to ask many questions, and a mind which used to understand. So one of the best means to acquire knowledge is by asking questions. And I, by no means, I'm trying to put you off or discourage you from asking questions. On the contrary, go ahead and ask as many questions as you want. It was just a comment wherein I intended to lighten up the mood a little bit, and didn't mean anything offensive. Forgive me. Next question. If Allah did not decide to give hidayah to someone, what will He do? Nothing. One should ask Allah for hidayah. We don't know whether Allah decided or not. How can we know whether Allah decided to give him hidayah or not? We won't know until he dies. As long as he's alive, then there's chance he should just continue to ask for hidayah. Can a woman ride a motorcycle? Did women during Prophet ﷺ ride animals, rode animals like horses? A woman may ride a motorcycle. If she rides a motorcycle as a rider, nope. Unless one can ride a motorcycle with both feet to the side, and I'll be very interested to see that one. You know, like this. But if she has to put one leg on each side, never. Never will a Muslim woman, it is never befitting for a Muslim woman to sit in this particular manner. And the women at the time of the Prophet ﷺ would not ride horses in that manner. They would ride it on the side. They would place both of their legs on the side, and very often they would have that little, I don't know what it's called in English, where they would, you know, sit in there. On the camel's back, they would sit inside a little kind of apartment. Something made out of, you know, cloth. Saddle, there you go. No, not the saddle. Yeah, the chariot, I guess that's what it is. So that's what they used to be, Aisha used to be in these, they're covered, they're protected. They were not going, you know, riding horses like this. Same thing for a bike. Come on, you guys, come on. Think about it. A woman, you know, what jilbab is she going to wear? She has to wear jeans. She has to wear jeans. She has to wear pants for her to be able to put legs on opposite sides. You can't do this with a skirt. You can't do it with a dress, I'm sorry. You can't do it with a long dress. So it is impossible for her to be able to ride a bike or a motorcycle without looking, without showing people her body. And you know, it's just all very disgusting. Even if you wear pants under the abaya, okay, when you ride on a bike, you're going to lift up your abaya? You can't keep the abaya covering your legs and sit on a bike or a motorcycle. Allah musta'an. What if there is a fear of some satanic power that keeps hunting in the house and the house members, which constantly makes you feel the presence of some human which is not visible, some alien power? What is the surah I should recite besides Ayat al-Kursi? Or is there any dunya or dua which could help me and my children, inshallah, from these satanic instructions? I don't know. And there's just this, you know, this is all tricks from the shaitan. You just need to depend on Allah Azza wa Jal and simply ignore them. You recite Surah Al-Baqarah in the house. Alhamdulillah. Kandar, wa alaykum salam. Q&A had just ended, not started. Tell us, we're done. Is the dead person can hear our sounds? No, the dead person cannot hear the living. The dead cannot hear the living. Monitor D, are we done? Barakallah feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi. What is the ruling on burning the mushaf with good intention? Some masjids have shelves and rooms full of Quran ripped and mishandled in disorderly fashion, and it's just ridiculous. That's fine. You may do so. You may do so. Okay, barakallahu feekum. It was good being around again. And Laura, don't forget to make that decision soon. And if you wish to make it now, then we are at your services. If you wish to take a little longer, then you have the right and the freedom to do so. Nevertheless, make sure that you do it soon. For your own good, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.